Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Here's what we're working on. Niagara police have now identified a vehicle involved in a deadly shooting in Niagara Falls.
A massive earthquake in Taiwan has killed 7 people.
And in a series of billboards, they tease Billie Eilish's new album. Good morning and welcome back to winter.
I know.
I had to look for my gloves again. I put on a warmer coat.
Yes, unfortunately.
And
you're really going to need it in the next 24 to 48 hours. Yeah, because the temperature is really going to start to struggle. I mean, temperature, well, we got to 3 degrees yesterday. Yay. We should be around 9 for this time of year. Oh, that's a seasonal daytime high. So it was a cool day yesterday. And that wind was horrendous. We had winds to about 70 kilometers an hour. We didn't get a lot of rain yesterday. We got 3 to 4 millimeters. That was about it. But there is still a weather statement in effect for all of the horseshoe, talking about the amount of rain for today and tonight. We could get another 10 to 20 millimeters. And the winds gusting 70 to 80 kilometers an hour, going to continue for most of the day today. Then it will taper off. But the temperature today is going to sit around 4. And then tomorrow, 2. And that's it. And we could get some mixing precipitation tomorrow. We'll talk about that coming up. All right, want to look at traffic. 403 Waterdown Road. The rain is coming down at the moment. We have wet roads, as you can see. So the 403 is moving okay for this time of the morning. A little busy to run about. Just a few MTO traffic cameras. Grace Road, Stony Creek, still moving okay. Nothing to see as you come off the Skyway. That's just south of 2 Appleby Line, Toronto bound towards us. Yeah, raining throughout the horseshoe at the moment. So we'll look at weather and traffic as usual coming up in a few. Right now, the news.
Okay, thanks very much. Well, a major earthquake has hit the east coast of Taiwan with a magnitude of 7.4. It's the strongest on the island in a quarter century. Now, at least 7 people have been killed. The quake hit around 8 o'clock local time. Around 700 people have been injured. Dozens are trapped. A 5-story building in a coastal city appeared heavily damaged, collapsing its first floor and leaving the rest leaning at a dangerous angle. Japan says a tsunami of about a third of a meter was measured on one of the islands. The U.S. National Tsunami Warning Center says no tsunami is expected, though, in British Columbia, Alaska, California, or other parts of the western U.S. following the strong earthquake.
There has been an increase in opioid-related paramedic calls and suspected drug-related deaths since 2017 in Hamilton. Information in a new health report presented to the city shows opioid-related calls and suspected drug deaths continue to be a significant public health burden. Since January of 2017, the majority of drug-related calls and deaths, 75%, were male, and the average age was 38 years. In 2023, Hamilton Paramedic Services responded to 964 suspected opiate overdoses. That's about 80 per month, which is up from 2018, when paramedics responded to approximately 450 calls, around 38 a month. Hamilton Public Health says there are many programs and supports out there. For more information, you can visit the city's website.
Hamilton police are investigating the discovery of a body behind the Leander Boat Club near Pierport Park. They haven't released any other details, but they do say that the body is that of an adult male. Homicide has taken over the investigation. A portion of Pierport Park was temporarily closed off.
Police have identified the suspect vehicle related to a fatal shooting that took place in Niagara Falls on Monday. Detectives have released this picture and described it as a 2020 to 2023 Audi Q7 with a black optic or black OPS package. It happened Monday, just before 6:30 in the evening in the area of Epworth Circle and St. Lawrence Avenue. A 29-year-old man was shot and killed right in front of his house. People in the neighborhood say this was a drive-by shooting and the man was shot in the head. Neighbors say the man had a wife and 2 children, young children, who were in the house at the time. People who may have been in the area have dash cam video or surveillance video between the hours of 2 and 7 p.m. on April 1st are asked to contact police if the vehicle is observed or if they see anything suspicious in their video.
Police are trying to identify a suspicious man involved in an incident at a park on Hamilton's East Mountain. The man allegedly followed a young male and female while they walked home, trying to grab the girl's hand at one point. Police say it happened at Red Hill Summit East Park, which is near Fletcher Road and Rymel Road. The man is about 6'2", with a thin build. He was wearing a gray hoodie with a full black balaclava and large dark sunglasses. Well, the city of Hamilton wants to ban paid blood donation. At yesterday's Public Health Committee meeting, a motion was filed by Mayor Andrea Horvath that would declare Hamilton a, quote, paid plasma-free zone. That would prevent for-profit blood collection companies from running in the city. The motion comes after the Hamilton Spectator revealed that a Spanish company had gone into an agreement with Canadian Blood Services to pay for several plasma clinics, including one in Hamilton's East End. City of Hamilton says the ban is meant to protect marginalized and vulnerable people from being exploited. In a statement, Canadian Blood Services says the for-profit plan is in response to a global shortage of life-saving medications called immunoglobulins. They say the shortage was made worse by the pandemic, showing Canada needs a domestic supply chain. They add that the for-profit plan is needed to set up that network, and they will control how much the company can collect. The city's motion will be up for debate at the next public health meeting towards the end of the month. Well, a Hamilton fire truck caught fire yesterday afternoon in Burlington. It happened on Highway 403 coming into Hamilton yesterday afternoon. Nobody was hurt. The truck was reportedly coming back from a truck repair shop in Brampton when there was a fire in the engine bay.
All right, let's take a look at sports. The Brantford Bulldogs were in the nation's capital last night, looking to regain the lead in their first-round series against Ottawa. And it looked good early. Merrick Vanacker scored in the first 2 minutes to give the Dogs a hot start, but Ottawa responded big time.
Here's a chance. Pinelli scores! The 67th minute, another steal, making the Bulldogs pay in the 3-2.
Look at the silky smooth mitts on Stony Creek's Luca Pinelli, burying his second of the game and fourth so far of the playoffs, making it 3-2 Ottawa in the second period. 67s would add to their lead minutes later. This time it's Caden Kelly wiring one past Mateo Drobak. Ottawa now up two. Braden Kressler would add an empty netter for Ottawa, and the 67s take a 2-1 lead in the series. Game four will be in Ottawa on Thursday night. Puck drop is at 7.
To it, one-on-one against Struble. Knocked away, Lundell picks it up. Lundell to the net, and he scores! What a goal! Anton Lundell gives the Panthers the 1-0 lead.
Let's take a do-si-do around the NHL. A few Canadian teams in action. The Habs doing the Leafs a favor. Nick Suzuki in Montreal come back to beat the Florida Panthers 5-3. The Cats are now only 4 points up on the Leafs for second in the Atlantic, and Toronto has 2 games in hand. The Buds play Tampa tonight at 7. Former Hamilton Bulldog Mason McTavish and the Anaheim Ducks extinguished the Calgary Flames last night by a score of 5-3. And Vinny Lettieri and the Minnesota Wild end Ottawa's 5-game winning streak with a 3-2 win, keeping their playoff hopes alive. They sit 6 points back of the Kings for the final wild card spot in the West. Quinn Hughes scored twice for the Canucks, but it wasn't enough as they fall 6-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Hughes continues to lead all defensemen with 84 points in 75 games. J.J. Paterka scored a pair of goals as Niagara's favorite team, the Buffalo Sabres, down the Washington Capitals 6-2. All right, let's take a little baseball action. Jays looking to bounce back in Houston after getting no hit on Monday. And this was, how do I say it, a low-scoring affair, to say the least. So low, in fact, I'll start you off in the fourth, where Jose Altuve destroys this high heat from Jose Barrios, giving the Astros the 1-0 lead. on only their second hit off the Jays starter. Then we'll fast forward all the way to the ninth. Josh Hader in to close things out for the Stros. And with Varsho on first, Davis Schneider goes to town on a pitch right in the center of the plate, taking it yard and giving the Jays a 2-1 lead. Chad Green closes it out in the bottom of the ninth by getting Chaz McCormick to fly out to left. Jays even the series with a 2-1 win. Two teams play again tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. Caitlin Clark can claim another record, the most watched women's college basketball game in history. Iowa's 94-87 victory over LSU averaged 12.3 million viewers on ESPN.
Here's Clark. Clark pulls up another deep one. He's good!
Clark scored 41 points as the Hawkeyes avenged last year's loss to the Tigers in the national championship game. It was one of the most viewed games in any sport other than NFL football over the past year. Iowa-LSU outdrew all but of the five games in last year's NBA Finals, along with a clinching game of last year's World Series. It was also the most watched men's or women's college basketball game ever on ESPN, more than doubling the previous largest audience.
Missed, taken, Lakers. Here's LeBron, the middleman. Stutter step all the way! Backhand layup, pretty stuff.
Pretty stuff indeed, and the King wasn't done there. LeBron scored a tidy 23 points while dishing out 9 assists as the Lakers crowned the Raptors 128-111. Toronto has now dropped 14 in a row. Next up are the Timberwolves. Tonight, tip-off is at 8 down in Minnesota.
Hey, 6:11. Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday morning, the 3rd of April. It's our wet start and it's our cool start. I mean, it's above seasonal temperature-wise, but the rain has been continuing and it will continue for the day. Here's a look at traffic. First of all, 403 Waterdown Road. It's moving, but a little bit slower. Toronto-bound lanes coming towards us. MTO traffic cameras into St. Catharines. Here's the Garden City Skyway. That's the west camera. No problems there. You know, generally, all you're going to see really is just wet roads. The rain continues all the way through the 403 junction around Brant, Ford Plant through Oakville. No problems on the roads, just really wet all the way through Cawthra. All right, temperature at the moment, we are above seasonal to start a morning here. We're at 5 degrees right now, humidity right up there. The winds, they're not quite as strong right now as they have been overnight. They're dying off a bit, but still northeast at about 28 kilometers an hour. That rain continues. So the special weather statement for right around the horseshoe continues for the rain and the wind. 25 to 40 millimeters possible for today, and winds possibly as high as 80 kilometers an hour in some areas. So for school today, temperature's going to sit around 4, so we could sink a little bit, but that rain continues, 10 to 20 millimeters for Hamilton, and no sunshine. Here's what we've had over the past 6 hours. It's a 6-hour loop. You can see we've had the precipitation moving its way up and across us. Some thunderstorms as well associated with this. So the rain continues for the day today, but we're watching that wraparound behind that low. That's going to pull in a lot chillier air and could give us some mixing precipitation. So some wet flurry activity and some showers possible for tomorrow. But today, 10 to 20 millimeters, 9 for Niagara, not bad there, but 3, 4, and 5 degrees for the rest of the horseshoe. That's where we're going to sit for most of the day. Tonight, temperatures fall back to 2 and 3, and that is what could bring us the mixing precipitation, some showers, some wet flurries, and again tomorrow, pretty much the same conditions, but temperatures cooler tomorrow, high of only 2 and 3 degrees, well below seasonal for this time of year. But it'll get better, finally, as we get toward the weekend. But as you step out the door this morning, temperature right now is 5. It is windy, and we do have some light rain continuing. Long range coming up. Annette, Adam.
Okay, we say good morning to Emily Vukovic. What do you have coming up in Chit Chat?
Good morning. Well, if you're a Swifty fan, we're talking a lot about Taylor Swift yet again.
Are you a Swifty fan?
I do appreciate what she does.
So do I. Yeah. I think she's amazing. And now she's super rich.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about. How rich is she?
So
we've got
rich.
The numbers coming up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Okay, coming up after the break in business, a major Canadian airline is facing possible strike action, while Canada's only major English language bookstore wants to go private. It is 6:16 on your Wednesday morning. In overseas trading, the Canadian dollar is down 3 basis points to 73.68 cents U.S. Gold has gained just over $12. Crude oil is up 24 cents to $85.39 a barrel. Checking midday trading in Europe, markets are down in London, but up in Frankfurt and Paris.
Over in Asia, markets are down in Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. And in North American markets, the TSX lost 110 points, the Dow lost 397, and the NASDAQ dropped 156.
Some WestJet pilots could be on strike as soon as April 17th after a strike mandate was approved. Their union, the Airline Pilots Association, says members at WestJet's regional carrier, Encore, voted 97% in favor of strike authorization. The vote came after contract talks around pay and career progression ground to a halt. The potential job action or lockout affecting 355 pilots can only take place after a 21-day cooling-off period. It started when federal conciliation ended last week.
Indigo Books and Music has agreed to be taken private after agreeing to an offer from its largest shareholder. The deal will see Trilogy Retail Holdings and Trilogy Investments pay $2.50 a share for the stake in Indigo they don't already own. The new price is 11% higher than their first offer in February. If Indigo shareholders agree to the deal next month, Indigo expects the transaction to close in June. Its shares would then be delisted from the Toronto Stock Exchange sometime after that.
U.S. government says Microsoft committed a cascade of avoidable errors, allowing Chinese hackers to breach its network and the email accounts of senior U.S. officials last year. U.S. Cyber Safety Review Board says the hack was preventable and shouldn't have happened. The board faults Microsoft for not adequately protecting a sensitive cryptographic key that allowed hackers to sign into their target's Outlook accounts. That allegedly gave Chinese operatives access to unclassified email accounts of senior U.S. diplomats, including the U.S. ambassador to China. About 60,000 emails were downloaded from the U.S. State Department alone. China has denied the hacking allegations. Microsoft says it's already working to improve security.
A company that provides services for immigrants in U.S. federal detention is being ordered to pay more than $811 million after a lawsuit accusing the company of using deceptive and abusive tactics. Officials say the company Nexus Services promised to secure immigrants' release on bond while their immigration claims were being processed, but hid the true nature and costs of its services. They said the company collected thousands of dollars in fees above the face value of the bonds and forced immigrants to wear painful ankle monitors. New York's attorney general says the company, quote, exploited vulnerable immigrants and their families to pad its pockets, and that is illegal and unconscionable.
The battle over Disney's future is coming to a head in a shareholder vote over the board of directors. So Disney wants shareholders to keep all 12 of its current board members. Activist investor Nelson Peltz, though, is challenging two members of the board to take over their seats. Peltz wants a seat for himself and another for former Disney CFO Jay Rasulo. Another challenge comes from Blackwell's Capital, which wants three seats on Disney's board. They're all looking for a higher return on Disney's stock price, which is already up nearly 50% in the last 6 months. Peltz, though, wants a turnaround from what he says are a number of box office flops at Disney Studios. The votes will be submitted at today's annual shareholder meeting.
All right, taking a break right now. Brian will be back with a look at the 7-day forecast and traffic. Drive's going to be wet.
Good morning. Coming up on 624 on this Wednesday morning, it's a wet start to the day, and you can see that by all the raindrops on the camera here. Garden City Skyway East camera's doing okay. Getting pretty slow now coming off the Skyway, going past North Shore Boulevard toward Fairview. A little slow through here. We have the rain. Look at the spray coming off the tires right here at Appleby Line. Nothing at Lorne Park traffic-wise, and even doing fine here on the 403 coming up from the Ford plant. So nothing happening traffic-wise. Just got to be careful with the wet roads that we have this morning. Temperature at the moment, and now we are above seasonal to start the day here today. 5 degrees Hamilton, Toronto, 6 Mississauga, 7 into Grimsby. When I talk seasonals, 9 degrees now for a seasonal daytime high and -1 for an overnight low. So we are above seasonal to start the morning. Those are our sun times and records for today. And for school today, I'm going to sit around 5 degrees for the first bell, and the showers, the rain, and then it's going to continue to be that way after school. The rain continues and temperature around 4 degrees. So the long range forecast, 4 degrees today. There's that 10 to 20 millimeters today possible, and the rain continues but tapers off to some scattered showers, maybe even some flurries overnight, 3. Same thing for tomorrow, some showers, some wet flurries, and only 2. Then it starts to get better. At least 5 degrees on Friday. Showers will linger. And then look at the weekend to come. It's getting better. Just look ahead to the weekend. That's all. Don't we always, anyhow? 9 degrees on Saturday, 11 on Sunday, the eclipse on Monday, 11 degrees, and 14 finally by the time we get to Tuesday. That's your forecast. I'm at Adam.
Thank you very much, Brian. What time is it on the moon? That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. NASA is trying to answer that question.
More accurately, they're trying to figure out how they should figure it out. Because of the difference in gravity and the speed of the moon's orbit, time moves a little bit more quickly up there. And that could be a problem as we here on Earth move forwards to establish a base on the moon. Now, the White House has instructed NASA and other U.S. agencies to do the work and design a new moon-centric time reference system, which is being called Coordinated Lunar Time, or LTC. The plan would help create a timekeeping benchmark for the entire moon, which spacecraft and visitors can use in their future missions. Moon
Interesting.
Time.
Moon time.
I like that.
What time is nap time on the moon?
Oh, you have to go to the dark side for that, maybe.
All right, lots more Morning Live coming up after the break.